Today is April 27th, 1984. We are at the Center for the History of Chemistry at the University of Pennsylvania. And today's interview is with Claude Deischer, Professor Emeritus at the University of Pennsylvania, former curator of the Smith Collection. And I'm John Heitens, Assistant Director for the Center for the History of Chemistry. Claude, I know you were born in 1903 in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, but I really don't know anything about your family, your brothers and sisters, if you had any, your mother and your father. And I guess what I'd just like to hear from you is those early years and your recollections of your family, what your father and mother did, and the like, and possibly when you became interested in the Moravian Church and the role of the Church in your early life.
Well, I'm happy to share with you some of the details. We lived on a small farm outside of Emmaus, and so we were limited in our holdings and things that we had for ourselves. It was a small farm, and about 25, 30 acres. My father was a carpenter by trade and a pattern maker. My mother graduated from a two-year high school in Emmaus, and so she, I guess, was the motive for us to go on to get an education.
Were they born in America, your parents?
Yes. Yes, sir. My mother is a descendant, an eighth descendant of the Knausses, K-N-A-U-S-S, which is my middle name. They founded Emmaus, the Knausses. They came around 1740 and founded the little community. They were Lutherans and Reformed, but they nevertheless embraced the Moravians because the Moravians were in Bethlehem at that time, and there was no pastor around there, and so they would go to Bethlehem, about 5 miles, and commune with the people. And so it was a limited existence. I had two brothers and three sisters. And all of us went to public school and then to normal school, and as we became of age. And so we were allowed to attend the schools in Emmaus, provided we paid $1 a month for tuition per person. And the reason for that was that we were in a township, and the school for that township was about 2 to 3 miles away, and we didn't have any buses or anything of that sort.
What became of your brothers and sisters, in the sense of what did they do?
All became teachers. Public school teachers. After we graduated from high school, my father worked for the Reading Railroad, and therefore he could get passes for us, and we could commute by train from Emmaus to Kutztown and back again the same day. So that, and the tuition at normal school at that time was $18.50. A semester. So it was a very inexpensive way of getting an education, and also not a costly one as far as meals or boarding was concerned.
Do you recall when you first became interested in science? Was it in high school or?
Not much in high school. We had more of the classical subjects. But when I got to Kutztown, I just decided that I would like to get some science, and I went in to see the principal of the normal school whether I could substitute some science, some chemistry and physics, instead of some of the pedagogical subjects. And he left me do that. I was surprised. And so I had my chemistry and physics. Professor Stump was there, and Professor Dietrich, and but they were elementary courses only. And so that helped me a great deal. And when it came time to do my public school teaching, I was allowed to go to the Kutztown High School to do my practice teaching. And so I walked about a mile to the high school and then taught for a period of time, and that's where I got my training. So, and I was supervised both by the Kutztown teacher and also by the supervisor.
Do you have some other recollections of those years at Kutztown State? What was it like to go to school there, in the sense of the other students? Were the faculty members very close to the students?
Yes, the students were close to the faculty members, and they had a lot of activities, debating and social conditions, and then we were allowed also to participate in other events at school. So that, but there was a big differentiation between boarding students and day students. See, the day students had to leave at 4 o'clock already, and we were not in all events, not nearly all. And if we didn't get the train to come back home, we could take a trolley over to the main railroad, the Reading Railroad, and then come down around 7 o'clock at night into Emmaus. So that it was a very nice way of communicating and of traveling.
How long were you at Kutztown?
Two years. It was a two-year program. And so we had to make the best and the most of our time, so that we enjoyed it, really.
Now, in the summertime, is that when you were working at the foundry?
Or? At one time I worked at the foundry, and then I also did odd jobs around home.
Can you tell me a little bit about your foundry work or any other experience?
Well, I stayed with my aunt and uncle, and who lived in Kutztown, and I just had to participate in the regular day program of all kinds of chores, and I was told what to do and when to do it, and everything worked out very nicely.
Did you make any patterns?
No, I didn't know. No, we did odd jobs like cleaning up and getting rid of some refuse and some grass and some things of that sort. Unload sand.
Molds.
Yeah, for the molds. No, we didn't do any of that. We didn't make molds. I felt that the unloading of sand was the hardest job because I wasn't used to it. for your hands. And or we would have to pick up pieces of iron that were left after the mold was broken apart and take it to some place for to be put in the next casting. We were kept busy, and you worked a long day. I forget exactly how long the day was, but it was a very early day. Started early and lasted until about 5 o'clock.
When did you become interested in chemistry, rather than physics or botany? Or you had many choices you could pursue.
Yes. After 2 years, we were employed. I was employed in a rural one-room rural school to teach all 8 grades.
Where was that?
About a mile from my home, and I had to build my own fire. I was custodian. I was everything in this school, and it was a short semester, and also a limited curriculum. I had 17 children. All the children were from farms around there, small farms, so that I was everything, really. I played ball with them, and it was a school that was part of a church, a Lutheran and Reformed church, and so that we got along very well, and naturally, when you have 7 and 8 grades all in one room, your limits for education were 10-15 minutes, class periods, because you had to have recess, and you needed all of the other activities. It's a wonder that they did learn, but they learned from each other. While a class was up front, maybe reciting or having their recitation session, the others were listening or studying. It was a very small room, and so we had a lot of fun. And,
was education considered to be very important?
Oh yes.
By these folk?
Yes. Yes. The only difficulty that I had was that when farm work became important, two families in particular would keep their children at home to work the soil, and I had to keep track of their absences, and if they became absent more than a certain number of times, they were brought before the officer of the school, and only one time did I have trouble, and that was about 5 miles away. I had to go there to defend myself for the absences for that child. And the man, the one that gave me the most trouble, was the one that was most prone to keep his children at home. And so, but the officer took my word for it, and so he was fined a small fee, and then he started to argue, and soon the officer said, now I'll raise it from $5 to $7.50, a fine for keeping the child at home, and gradually he left. But when it was time for me to leave, I didn't know whether I wanted to go down the same street or not. I thought maybe he might get a hold of me, but he didn't do anything. He didn't.
Did you pretty well support yourself in terms of finances?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Most of your education?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, I did all of myself. And my parents would help me with meals and things of that sort.
Now, you enrolled at Muhlenberg College.
Yes, then when I...
After the period of teaching.
Yes, I taught in Emmaus 4 years. 2 years departmental and 2 years in high school. And when I was in high school, they decided that I should teach chemistry and physics. I guess because I was going to Muhlenberg and taking courses there. And that was the best thing that could happen to me. I was athletic director in a small school. You're athletic director and you're this and that and there, everything, because it was a very small high school.
How many students were in the high school? Did you have any?
Oh, about...
Oh, roughly. Well,
in my high school class, there were 23. And the high school classes that I was teaching then, 4 years later, they were about 27 to 30. It was a very small community. It had about a population of about 3,000. That is the community. Then I went to Muhlenberg, and that's where I met I had more chemistry, Dr. Fasig, and then...
What was his name?
Fasig, F-A-S-I-Z. And Bailey, Dr. Bailey. Dr. Deck was the physics teacher, and then Dr. Schenkweiler was the biology teacher. Now, naturally, they had better equipment and more students, but even then, Muhlenberg was a small college.
Well, that's Moravian College, isn't
no,
it?
No, that was Muhlenberg.
Oh, okay.
Muhlenberg. Moravian College is in Bethlehem. I never attended Moravian College.
Is Muhlenberg a Lutheran-sponsored
yes,
school?
It is in Allentown, and I commuted to Muhlenberg with a trolley. That's the only way I could go. I didn't have an automobile or a bicycle or anything like that. And the whole thing resulted in that I had to make up some of the courses which I did not have at Muhlenberg, and for their bachelor's degree. And at Kutztown, I only received a certificate, whereas at Muhlenberg, you got a B.S. And those were good courses, chemistry and math, of course, math as well, but the sciences, and ornithology, and it was a very extensive program. And they gave me a lot of credit for some courses from Kutztown, so that I had to take religion, because Muhlenberg was a religious school, and all the rest then was to make up what I didn't have, ethics, things of that kind.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think
so that as a whole,
right.
I went Saturdays and evenings and summers to work off a few credits. All the time you had to travel back and forth, and then sometimes while I was going to Muhlenberg, if I had a few hours, I would work in the foundry in Emmaus, mow grass, you know, at some of the bosses' homes.
Did you do considerable laboratory?
At Muhlenberg?
Yeah, Muhlenberg.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any particular experiments that you remember as being...
I do not remember them. It was the run-of-the-mill courses and experiments. We had a certain number of experiments to do, and most of them were, of course, chemistry and physics and biology. The other courses, like ornithology, and some of the trips that we took were normal educational subjects. And so that after I graduated there...
You graduated in 1925 from
Muhlenberg. 25 from Muhlenberg. And that's when I then got the job, got the offer to teach in Emmaus in high school. And I taught in Emmaus then 2 years. And I wanted to go on. I wanted to get more chemistry. I liked chemistry better than any of the other. And
any reason why?
No, I don't know. I don't know. The net result was that I decided I wanted to go to Penn for some reason. I had a cousin who had come to Penn years before, and so...
But you went to Lehigh for a while just to make
then
up
Penn, some
courses.
Penn told me that I couldn't enter until I had some more courses, and that's when I went to Lehigh, and that's when I took chemical calculations with Long, Professor Long.
Shorty Long?
Yes, Shorty Long. And small, organic. And I had Babesinian in organic, too. And these had quite a number of students there because it was an engineering school, you know. And I worked off the credits and then finally came down to Penn. I was admitted to Penn. But I was admitted to Penn the first year as a full-time student. I didn't do any teaching at all. And that's
1927.
Yes. And that's when I met Dr. Smith. Mm-hmm. See, the public school started earlier than Penn did at that time. So I came down and was in the dormitories here, and went to chemistry, and that's when I met Smith, because he was retired. And I saw this library in the chemistry building on the first floor, right inside the door. And so I went in, and Dr. Smith was there and wanted to question me about where I came from. I was a Moravian, and he was a Moravian at that time.
Did you know who Dr. Smith was before you got here?
Yes, I knew of
his prestige.
Yes, yes, yes. And so he began to show me some of the holdings of the Smith Library, and he had all of these exhibits on the wall, and books, and they were all over the chemistry building. Some were in the ladies' room, and some were in the hallway in locked cabinets. Some were wherever they would find a place. And he had his own system, but that time he had Miss Armstrong, who was his secretary. And Miss Armstrong, that's in Kimia. She took care of the library until about 1962.
And that's Eva Armstrong.
Yes. And it was she then who helped me a great deal after Dr. Smith was deceased. He lived until 28.
Did you spend considerable time talking to Dr. Smith, or was it just a few minutes?
Yes, I was a considerable time.
Any other recollections, amusing?
And then I went to his home. He lived in an apartment up here at around 40th, some, no.
I think it was 39th and Locust.
39th and Locust. And I was there sometimes. So that he was very helpful. Of course, he had a lot of people coming in and out because he knew a lot of people, and he had many friends and books coming in. Some people that he taught traveled extensively, had money, and naturally they bought some books abroad. That's the way he accumulated his library, too. He traveled, too. But he didn't. He was interested only in his library, not in a lot of other things. Then, after he retired in 1920,
who were some of the other people in the chemistry department when you first?
Dr. Shin. Dr. Shin, Shimm. He was the head of the department at the time. Dr. Taggart was the organic chemist, T-A-G-G-A-R-T. Dr. Lukens, L-U-K-E-N-S, was the analytical chemist. And then Dr. McCutcheon, who had studied abroad in organic chemistry. You see, you only had generally four fields. And then they brought in a man, physical chemistry, Dr.
Was it Dr. Wagner? Was it?
No, Dr. Wagner was organic. I can't think of his name now.
We'll come back to it later.
So they then I started a series of courses, and we had laboratories, and a small number of graduate students. I would say probably 15 graduate students.
Now, you did your work with Dr. Lukens.
Yes, with Dr. Lukens.
Any particular reason why?
When I started the second year, I had accepted a position after I got my master's degree to go to Hamilton High School, Hamilton, New Jersey. And it was then that I felt secure because I could then earn money. And I came back on Alumni Day to Penn, and also to attend the commencement then later on, the next day. And that's when Dr. Shin offered me an instructorship. He asked where I was going, and I said, to Hamilton, and he said, he asked me, how much money are you going to get? I said, well, they told me I'd get $1,800 a year at Hamilton, and he said, would you like to stay here? I said, oh, certainly, because I had known then that you had no tuition if you taught, you had no breakage fees, and I said, I'd love to stay here and to teach. He said, all right, I'll give you a teaching job in general chemistry. And I worked quite hard that year because with students then to take care of, and students who were able.
Now, you had to both lecture and do the lab?
No.
Just the laboratory?
Yes. Uh-huh. And quiz them and have calculations.
Did you have to do demonstrations?
No, I did not. They had a man to do the demonstrations. And then I taught general chemistry for a number of years, And then Dr. Lukens became chairman, and he said that now they needed a man in analytical chemistry. So there was a man in analytical chemistry. See, we had chemists and chemical engineers and college students all in analytical chemistry. So I went to, I said I would be happy to teach analytical chemistry, and so I started there, and I guess that's through Dr. Lukens and I became
an analytical chemist. Actually, from general chemistry to analytical chemistry.
So it was a very interesting thing.